Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Oh, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit the subscription button.
What a mess. We need an office.
Hit the subscription button and the notify bell next to it. El Idolo. If you want to get new Going In Raw content every day.
You may be a friend of Steve, but are you Valor Club?
Let's find out. Let me ask. Yeah, there you go. If you're Balor Club and you don't too sweet, are you actually Balor Club? I think the answer is no.
Oh, God. What a nightmare.
What's this coffee?
Anyways, be sure to hit that subscription button. Hey. It'd be great. On the iOS podcast app.
I feel like we started this recording without really having everything prepared.
You can leave a rating or review for Going In Raw, and it really helps the show. Man, I shouted that out not long ago, like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And our podcast shot up quickly in the audio.
Top 200.
Mm-hmm.
For almost top 150.
Sports and recreation.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, we're also
for your support. We appreciate it.
At the Patreon, at patreon.com/Steven Larson. There's been some controversy in the Patreon world lately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've been charging people fees. Apparently, they're going to start charging people fees.
It's no good.
And we don't like it.
No.
It's no good. Let your local Patreon shop know that that's no good.
Contact the Patreon representative.
Exactly. Look, I do want to say this, though. We do really, really appreciate the patrons. We would never blame anybody for saying, hey, Patreon, get bent. We'll support you guys in a different way.
And
yes. We love it. That's fantastic. But I also do want to give a shout out to the patrons who stuck around.
Yes.
Through all that stuff. Because, you know, it really does help support the show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of great reward tiers. We might, if this decision from Patreon, which we object to, does not get reversed, we may figure out a way to maybe revise our own reward tiers to adjust and compensate for that. The $1 tier might become a 75-cent
yes.
tier.
Yes, and the $5 tier might become a 450 tier.
Hold on a second. I want to do, because on SmackDown, we
what would the $200,000 tier become?
Yeah, well, what would that become?
Was it?
200,000
times 2.9?
Yeah, 0.029, and then plus 35 cents.
So we have to take about 6,000 off.
We have to take 5,835 cents off. Hold on a second. $1 times 0.029. Oh, wait, no.
No, you just made a bet.
1 times 0.029 equals... Oh, wait, that is... Add 35 cents.
Yeah, there you go.
This is 35 cents.
35 cents.
So, yeah, we'll bring that to a 65-cent tier. That's all we can do. We can only do what we can do.
Yeah.
We might try to do that.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We'll figure it out.
Anyways, Steve. Oh, we're also Pro Wrestling Tees. You can get that shirt, the Friendo shirt. You cannot get Balor Club.
That's WWE shop, baby. Absolutely. Anyways, this is Dirt Sheet. We got a packed episode.
Yeah,
today.
We got a lot to get through.
There's a lot going on, kind of like on the subsurface of the wrestling industry coming up at the end of the year, coming up to the end of the year, entering into Royal Rumble territory. But all over the place, there's some interesting things developing. We're going to have some robust conversations about
ideally,
of that stuff today.
Yes, but first...
Yeah, let's talk about Roman Reigns.
Let's talk about Roman Reigns and how it's his yard.
It's the entire world of wrestling is his yard.
Yeah, so Roman was the first guest on Straight to the Source? Straight to the Source.
Straight from the Source?
I think it's Straight to the Source. I think my notes are in error.
Oh, okay.
With Corey Graves. It premiered right after Raw, I believe, this past Monday. And during the course of the show, I believe it's Corey Graves interviewing Roman Reigns in the empty arena before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Corey asked Roman Reigns about being the WWE's top guy. This is what Roman had to say. Steve, will you please?
Every day of the week. This is the top of the mountain here. Point Blake, period. You know I'm the best performer in the ring in the world right now. You can go to my matches and my pay-per-views over the last 3 years, and you can say I'm an idiot, or you can be like, man, he's got a point. You know what I mean?
So I guess he's saying you can agree with him or disagree with him?
He's saying, I'm the man.
So recently, in an interview with The National, Triple H, I believe, to hype the upcoming tour of WWE in the United Arab Emirates and India.
Sure.
Spoke about his match against Roman. And this is what he had to say. Quote, I think he is one of the best the WWE have right now. Actually, you should be reading this.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure we should have flip-flopped this. I think he's one of the best the WWE have right now. Roman is in a unique position because the fan base tends to believe that he is this chosen one that the WWE wants in this position. So they choose not to accept that position. But the truth is, and some people will listen to this and want to argue against it, but at the end of the day, I find it funny that honestly, most of the people who argue against it aren't qualified to make that argument. I am. Roman, is he in character now?
Seems like
it. I am. Roman is one of the most skilled performers, bar none, in the WWE right now, and then is on every level.
Wow.
Was that in character? Is there like a different like COO character
There's a middle ground between executive Triple H, the game Triple H.
Yeah.
That apparently he's inhabiting during this interview where he's kind of going back and forth between the two characters.
Yeah.
It's a Triple H tweener.
Was there like, does Vince have is Triple H under surveillance from Vince at all times? Is that what's happening here? I mean, that's fine that he thinks that.
All right, first, let's go back to Reigns' comments.
Are we qualified to say who the best are, Larson?
Because we've never wrestled?
Whatever criteria he thinks there is here.
I think Triple H is saying that he says most people who argue against it aren't qualified to make that argument. I'm assuming that means that we don't know enough about the wrestling industry to qualify to make that.
To understand what really good matches are?
Yeah. Understand psychology, in-ring work rate, mic work. And I'll give Triple H that. Neither of us have ever stepped in a wrestling ring.
That's true. I never planned to.
I've never tried terrifying. To drop a promo in front of 15,000 people. Correct. I've never tried to work a match to have the crowd in the palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, as consumers of this product, I dare say our opinion matters too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because without us, you have no business.
Right.
Therefore, you have no company.
Yeah. Try making money off an empty arena match.
Exactly.
That isn't on TV.
I know. But let's go back to Reigns. As the top guy in WWE, I fully expect him to say most of what he said.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And even him saying that he's the best in-ring worker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if your aspirations are to be the top guy in WWE, I would think you'd want to feel that way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the same thing like when Dolph Ziggler went on a podcast and said, I'm really mad that I'm not the guy because I think I should be.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should aspire to be that. That's absolutely correct. And if I just retired The Undertaker, I'd probably be saying the same thing. I'm the best guy in the ring.
Yeah. If we look at it objectively as observers of the product.
Yeah. Worldwide, internationally.
Yes.
And the WWE.
I would say I would give Reigns credit for improving over the course of the last 3 years as an in-ring performer. He has been involved in some really stellar matches against stellar competition. In a bubble, in a vacuum, I would not personally consider him one of the top five workers in the world.
I wouldn't consider him one of the top five workers in the WWE.
No, I wouldn't either.
I mean, there's Styles, Owens, Zayn, Nakamura.
Rollins.
And, I mean, to be honest, like half of 205 Live. Like, yeah, if you want to talk about in-ring performances. Oh, God, don't even get me started on NXT.
That being said,
yeah.
He does have natural in-ring charisma. He can work. You can't ever fault him for his effort. He always busts his tail in the ring.
He seems like he does, yeah.
Yeah. He's serious about his job.
Yeah.
He wants to improve. So I give him credit for all that. But, you know, if I haven't seen the whole show, but if he's kind of doing this interview half in character, half out of character.
This sounds like it's all in character.
So you kind of have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah, like a massive, like a huge mound of salt. Like a rock salt. Giant thing.
Like a boulder.
Like a boulder of salt. Yeah, I mean, it's silly. It's absolutely. I think this, like, the show kind of feels a bit on the silly side, anyways.
It's a good way for the show to grab some headlines, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's sort of the Roman Reigns thing at this point, isn't it? Like, I'm here no matter what. You guys can kind of be on the train or not. he doesn't really seem to care. He kind of reacts to the crowds in like in ways that are that sort of flow with is the crowd with me? Cool. If not, I'm just gonna give him some snark.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that. Like,
yeah.
I can kind of appreciate that they're going in a direction that isn't pandering one way or the other.
Yeah.
He's not trying to get heel heat. He's not trying to get face heat. He just is who he is. The WWE likes his look. Evidently, they think he sells enough tickets and merchandise to put him in this spot, or they think that by the end of whatever this game is they're playing with him, this trajectory they have him on, this roadmap they have him on, that he's going to be in the position to be selling those kind of numbers, making that kind of money for the company. So, I mean, that's all well and good. Objectively speaking, in terms of in-ring performance, he isn't even close to the top five in the company, though. So
no.
and then not even to speak of the world. I don't even watch CMLL, but apparently some of those guys are like gangbusters.
Yeah.
I don't watch Ring of Honor on a regular basis, although I do want to watch, what is it, Final Battle?
Yeah.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, me too. But then, you know, Triple H, his comments as well, he's hyping the match against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to talk him up.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you look at, honestly, like, the funny thing is, like, the last couple of Roman Reigns matches that have been great. I mean, look, I can look back to Raw. Him and Jason Jordan put on a great match.
The match Reigns had against The Miz where he won the Intercontinental title. That was a good match.
It was a really good match, yeah. He is improving. I just kind of feel like he's still at the same level of he can have. He's not okay. AJ Styles can get in there literally with a sack of potatoes, an actual sack filled with potatoes, and put on like a 4-star match.
Mm-hmm.
He had like Brock Lesnar had his best match against AJ Styles. Roman Reigns isn't carrying anybody to a 5-star match. He can be involved in 5-star matches. Cody Rhodes was involved in a 5-star match with Okada.
Yeah.
Because Okada can, he's like an ATM machine for 5-star matches. He can just dole them out left and right.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns isn't that guy.
No, he's not to that level.
But, you know, if he's in character saying this stuff, as in, you know, kayfabe, my Superman punch spear combo can beat anybody. Kayfabe, you're right. It can. It has.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it did. That's how you're being written.
Yeah.
You know, RoboCop can sit there in an interview and say, I am best cop. And he's right.
Yeah, he's right. Who's going to argue with a robotic cop? You mean? I know. No one's going to argue with a robotic cop.
You know, he's written, RoboCop was written really strong.
He was.
He's booked really strong.
He is.
Against, what was it, Ed? What was it? What was the big robot monster in the first one?
Oh.
Was it Ed something? Ed 492 or something like that? Yeah, 249? I don't know what it was. And there's that second one. I don't know. And
the second one's a messed up movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, Roman Reigns, RoboCop of WWE? Yeah, maybe. You know,
kind of.
He's written booked. He's written strong.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah. We agree with that, Roman. All right, let's have this really long conversation.
Yeah,
on
you're
Impact,
really
dude.
Excited about this topic, I think.
Okay, let me preface it by saying this. What do you think my perception is of Impact Wrestling? How do you think I feel about Impact Wrestling?
I kind of feel like you feel sorry for it. Like you watch it and you realize, you accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
And you see that it could probably be more than what it is.
Yeah.
And because you see that, you want it to do well.
Yeah.
But you realize its shortcomings.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, I feel like you kind of take a little, you kind of feel sorry for it as the company. Or
more so.
I think the talents involved.
It's a weird thing because you're basically right. I don't necessarily feel that way. I'll put it this way. I feel that way for the Impact universe, which encompasses Impact and I guess its fans, its talent. I don't feel sorry for Ed Nordholm.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because he, like, every interview I've seen with him, he seems like he doesn't fully grasp what, like, good business practices are. You know, oh, I'm going to release these emails that I've had with WWE. And then, oh, yeah, we're just writing this stuff in our contracts where, you know, characters can just take their characters elsewhere. I mean, there is a middle ground that WWE has, and it makes perfect sense. You know, it's like, hey, if we've created this for you,
it's ours.
It's ours. You know, I mean,
come to us with a character, we will license this character from you if you want to use it.
Right. Yeah.
And upon the end of your contract, then this merchandising agreement, this licensing agreement is over. Carry on.
Right. So I don't feel sorry for him.
No.
And I don't, I'm not going to say I feel sorry for the talent because they all are in deals that they signed up for. Moose just signed a 3-year deal. But as a product, it's the little engine that could, I guess. I want it to do well. I want it to succeed. I know you do too because you want talent to do good.
Yeah.
It's immensely fun to make fun of it because, look, man, there's comedy and tragedy sometimes. And when you move from an impact zone in Orlando where regardless if it's tourists that are passing by, they're able to fill seats between them and then the 100 people or so maybe that were impact regulars.
Yeah.
You're able to pack that little venue and sometimes get some heat, you know, sometimes get the crowd going.
Yeah.
When you move from there to this empty warehouse in Canada for your TV show, it's just, it's kind of comical and it's kind of sad, but it's kind of comical because nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah.
And so you see the ship sinking and you think, oh man, 2018, it's not going to last. But then something really fascinating happened, which I think... I go back to this. If you're a Boston Celtics fan back in 2007,
yeah,
and they're a 22-win team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When
Danny Ainge took over. Yeah.
There is no chance that they're going to go anywhere ever. And he made a couple of major deals, which brought their new big three over, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
Well, Paul Pierce is already there.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. He brought over Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen.
Yeah.
And they became NBA champions. I'm not saying that could happen here. I'm saying that fortunes can change very quickly with really, really smart and interesting business ideas. And the entirety of the wrestling industry, like many industries, they're all built on relationships,
yes,
networking and relationships. Impact this week on the 5th announced the hiring of Don Callis as an executive vice president. Scott DeMora is already there. He's been hired as an executive vice president, along with Ed Nordholm, who's already Impact president. They're going to form a 3-member executive committee. This is quoting from PW Insider and Wrestling Observer.
This is straight from the press.
Oh, their press girl. Okay.
Yeah.
So to quote, form a 3-member executive committee with overall responsibility for developing the creative direction for the company and managing the execution of the company's business plan. According to PW Insider, Don Callis, who's also been known as Cyrus in the past, he's the New Japan announcer with Kevin Kelly.
Yeah.
He's been in talks with Impact for a while the initial plan to bring him aboard in November, and they added that New Japan, I'm sorry, what? With the initial plan to bring him aboard in November, and they added that New Japan, where Callis currently serves as a commentator, had planned on Callis to depart that role. Though based on this press release, he seems to be staying.
Yeah, and then Callis himself later clarified that he will be staying with New Japan, quote, for as long as they want.
Now, the fascinating part of this is the Wrestling Observer himself confirmed that Callis will stay with New Japan and added that he will, quote, now be a liaison between the two companies, and added that it was settled a while ago that he'd keep working for New Japan if he took the Impact job. Now, we can stop there and we'll continue in a second.
Yes.
But Don Callis is the guy who put together one of the biggest deals in this current expansion that New Japan is trying to initiate here in the United States, bringing Chris Jericho to Wrestle Kingdom to fight Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was integral in that deal.
Yeah, he was the kind of the facilitator getting Jericho on board with it.
And apparently that deal, I mean, I'm not sure how, you know, in-depth of the negotiations he was. I don't think he was that in-depth in the negotiations, but it was like a months-long process. Mm-hmm. But eventually he got a guy who was this close to fighting for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania this year,
yeah,
to Wrestle Kingdom in January. I mean, he was fighting for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. That's a huge deal. That's a huge relationship for Impact. Now, your main take on that, your counter to that is, don't get too excited, Steve, because...
There's a litany of reasons not to get too excited.
The basic thing is, though, what could New Japan possibly stand against?
Yeah, they can't gain... From my understanding, New Japan's numbers on Access TV here in the States are comparable to what Impact does on Pop TV. Uh-huh. Pop TV's in more households. I think in the Wrestling Observer this week, Meltzer mentioned that Access TV is one of the few cable networks that's actually expanding. I think they're expanding up to about 50 million households coming up pretty soon. Pop is in about 70 million, according to Wikipedia. I looked earlier. So if they're looking, New Japan that is, looking to bring talent over, put them on Impact to get them more eyes of an American audience. I mean, if their own show is already doing comparable numbers, granted, not as many households, but comparable numbers, that seems like a wash to me.
Quick side note, Pop is available on the Sony View service, which I have, and that's how I watch Impact when I do watch it, and it's like $35 a month. I'm not sure if there's a higher tier that then gets you access. I'm not sure. I watch all my New Japan on New Japan World anyway.
Yeah, who knows?
My counter to that would be, and here's the thing. We'll know soon enough whether this is going to be a relationship that actually means anything or doesn't. I think it's a great step, though.
Oh, and from Impact's vantage point, it's worth a try.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, for me, it feels like New Japan is the hottest thing going in wrestling right now.
Absolutely.
Bar none.
Yeah.
Impact has and still does feel like a sinking ship.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't know why New Japan would want to associate itself when it's on the upswing with a company who's been treading water for the last 10 years.
Well, here's the thing. Not everybody, and this is a good back and forth, because nobody's right, because it'll play out the way it'll play out.
Mm-hmm.
But I could actually see Impact has some good talent. And apparently Impact is moving towards like daily deals with their wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah. Also in the newsletter, I believe Meltzer was saying how Nordholm's been told to make Impact.
They're in a huge cost-cutting mode.
Yeah,
right
now. At least you know, like budget neutral.
Right. Yeah.
They might be
yeah.
making money, but they're not losing money.
Right. Exactly.
So the thought is, over the course of the next year, a lot of the higher paid talent is going to be out the
James
door.
James Storm is already gone.
EC3 might be on the way out. Bobby gone. Lashley. Yeah. In cost cutting moves, so you're going to be left with some young, good talent, but not as well known as some of the stars they might have to lose.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So again, I don't know what the draw is going to be for New Japan to send any, you know, wrestlers other than you know, Young Lions out on an excursion essentially over to Impact.
Well,
just to get some seasoning, but they already have that deal with Ring of Honor.
Well, the interesting thing is going to be this. Now, with the exposure thing, if you're looking to get into the United States, I would imagine, I'm not sure what the crossover audience is between Access New Japan and Pop
Impact. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, they might think, hey, you know, if we're getting, if 50,000 people who are watching our show right now also watch Impact, or, you know, if 150,000 people don't, you know, then, or at that point it'd be 200,000 because Impact gets about 250. Well, that could be 200,000 more eyes that we're getting
that.
Our people on. Now, the question, do we want them on a TV show which features an empty arena, basically? Maybe, maybe not. If they say, well, okay, Impact says, we want, you know, it would be great if we could have the Ticking Time Bomb and Kushida. Dude, Okada was at some show in like, what was it, MLW? Like some like really small show, because they had a little bit of a talent exchange.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, I don't think it brings down New Japan's stock to have some of their mid-carders on. I mean, nobody's going to be defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship on Impact, but I don't think it hurts their stock to have the Ticking Time Bomb show up, sell some more seats over there in Impact, because then if you have a couple of New Japan guys, like you said, they're the cool thing. They could sell.
No,
they could
sell
out
I
a house.
I completely understand
for Impact
why Impact would want to do it. But if there's going to be a talent exchange, say New Japan sends over Takahashi, if Impact is to cut costs and lose a lot of their major stars, who are they going to send over to Japan in turn?
Well, right now Impact has on that are sort of newer and would be kind of interesting to see in New Japan. Obviously, Moose.
Mm-hmm.
He signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
They're not getting out of that anytime
Trevor
soon.
Lee.
Trevor Lee would be great.
Yeah.
They're already crossing over with Sammy Callahan. He's on both brands.
Yeah.
You got the Crist brothers over there. They don't do women's wrestling, so you can't put Sienna over there. They have some... I'm not sure if Johnny Mundo has gone to New Japan.
He hasn't lately.
I don't think he has.
No.
Yeah, not lately anyways.
Here, let's take a break and talk about some other things that might complicate matters. Meltzer notes that Impact is, quote, attempting to work with both Ring of Honor and New Japan as far as exchanging talent goes and working together in whatever fashion can be beneficial. As of right now, there are no plans for talent trading with New Japan, but that can always change. He continues that Impact, quote, wants to be part of the New Japan Ring of Honor alliance. Besides Impact's relationships with AAA, The Crash, and Pro Wrestling Noah as some of the many potential stumbling blocks in forging such a relationship. Apparently, New Japan doesn't really want to get involved with AAA or the Crash. And they have some beef with Noah. And apparently they have some beef with Noah,
which is kind of interesting because Marufuji is a Noah guy, and even as late as 2016, I think he
was... That's where Suzuki-gun was before they came back to New Japan.
That's right, that's right. So that's kind of weird. I mean, I'm sure it's a simple internet search. But this is interesting also. Meltzer also says that both Callis and Scott DeMore have tried to mend fences between Impact and New Japan, with DeMore recently going over there and apologized to the company about the treatment of their talent by TNA. Of course, Okada was in like a Green Hornet gimmick of some sort.
Yeah, it was awful.
Naito as well went over there and they botched him, noting that all those from that regime, whether it was Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, Dixie Carter, or Eric Bischoff, are no longer there, and it's a completely new company with new ownership. So look, I'm not expecting the world to shift. I'm not expecting any of that. But what a great first move.
Oh, yeah, for Impact, it's a smart move.
You target a lower-level guy who you know made a really smart relationship move, bringing in Chris Jericho. Hey, let's get that guy. Apparently, Don Callis was out of wrestling for a really long time, like since ECW collapsed, basically. He was supposed to be part of Bischoff's WCW.
Yeah.
And, of course, that didn't happen. He went off and he founded like a trade company of some sort, and then came back to do New Japan announcing, and then he started getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
And apparently the Jericho deal just started off with kind of a joke.
Yeah,
Callis just sort of mentioned offhand, and then he made it happen. So I think it's a like I pull for companies to do well. Impact,
yeah,
is
I do
all,
too.
It's look, it's a lot. Like I can make fun of it all day long. It's a lot of fun to do that. There are some really good talents there. I hope they don't get screwed out of this new like cost cutting thing.
I know,
but I could see that. I could see New Japan. Look, dude, we're not that far removed from New Japan welcoming Jeff Jarrett.
Well, that was into Bullet Club. 2014.
I think it was 2014.
New Japan's come a long way since.
They have come a long way since then, and they are the cool place to be. But there are a couple faces in. I mean, Trevor Lee. I could see him in New Japan easily.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
It would be,
you know. So
I'm pessimistic, but I want Impact to succeed.
I might start doing my Impact reviews again.
Now you're excited. You're
well.
You're,
there's some, look, man.
Your reviews are reborn.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about that. It takes a while, dude. You gotta watch the whole show. And besides, I think a lot of people want to see Ring of Honor reviews, anyways.
Yeah,
I might start doing that. But I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to keep an eye on. Look, the worst thing that'll happen is nothing, and Impact will go away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they can't – if they keep on losing money, Anthem's not going to keep them around.
No.
So, I mean, the worst thing that'll happen is they'll eventually end up on the WWE Network.
So, yeah.
There you go. We have a lot of follow-ups.
Yeah, we have a lot.
Yeah.
Let's start with probably the most, I don't know, interesting – bit of news. We saw the debut of Wilkin Matt Hardy on Raw this week.
Wonderful.
And we've had a lot of ongoing conversations about if the Broken Universe or some variation on it were to show up on WWE TV, how much say would he have in the character and storylines?
Yeah.
Well, according to Sports Illustrated's Extra Mustard.
All of it.
Justin Brasso says, there's someone backstage in WWE who's huge on Wilkin Matt Hardy, and that someone is Vince McMahon.
A high-level executive in the WWE by the name of Vince McMahon Jr.
Is he a junior?
No way.
No, he's Vincent Kennedy McMahon. His middle name is
as opposed to, yeah. But didn't they call him Vince Sr.?
Yeah, I mean, it's just shorthand.
Yeah.
Brasso states, quote, a contact within WWE reached out to inform Sports Illustrated that Hardy will be allowed a creative license by McMahon, who sees opportunity and the opportunity to cash in on a character that is already established.
Continues. Evidently, he doesn't have a problem using That's a TNA guy.
That's interesting. He continues, McMahon has known Hardy for over two decades, and the chairman.
Hey, chairman.
You are the chairman. Clearly trusts Hardy enough to give him the opportunity to connect his character with the vast WWE audience.
This tickles me to no end. Take away.
Hardy compound.
Hey, take away, I mean, even that. Which
drone
is,
shots.
Which
drone
is great.
Shots.
And we're going to get that now.
I know.
We're going to get that now. Starting with the idea that these guys go back 20 years, Vince knows that Matt has broken his body for the company, and now he's back, probably loves Matt,
yeah,
and he probably loves that Matt self-started himself back up in Impact,
yeah,
TNA or whatever, with this imaginative stuff.
Yes.
And the fact that he's willing to get... McMahon ain't giving creative license to anybody.
No.
And he gives it to Matt Hardy.
I know.
That tickles me to no end to know that Vince has trust in somebody like Matt Hardy.
Oh, I know. It's great.
To do that. I love it. And that's huge. It means we are going to get all that stuff. We're going to get the drone shots. We're going to get the Hardy compound.
Yeah.
Whatever else he wants to do.
Dilapidated boat.
I wonder if Matt would ever call up Jeremy Borash.
Fireworks.
Water under the bridge. Come work with me with my dilapidated boat.
Well, I don't think Borash had a problem with that. He's under contract, though, I'm sure, still.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, who knows? Impact, they're trying to reach out to people.
That's true.
Impact reaches out to WWE. Talent exchange with WWE.
I know. Well, you take Jeremy Borash, we'll take Kevin Dunn.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. I like Borash. Oh, man. So that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. Also in the news, Sting.
Sting.
He still wants a match with The Undertaker.
Yeah, surprise, the icon surprise. Himself. He made a recent appearance at the Wales Comic Con. I don't know if this is the same one, but he was posting some pictures of him with fans, and he was in full Sting regalia.
Oh, yeah, when he does these Comic Cons, he's in
I love it.
Full makeup.
And you know what? He's got a smile on his face with these Sting cosplayers. Like, he's happy as a pig in slop. The passion. I love that, man. Yeah. I'm very positive right now.
Yeah, he spoke again about wanting a match against The Undertaker. He said, I'd like to have one more match. I'd like to have that Undertaker match. I wanted that match with Taker and would have done my best to make it happen. He also talks about postponing his surgery.
Yeah.
And he says it's less to do with having another match and more to do with, like, Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Said if you don't need it, don't do it. He feels fine. He can work out. He can do whatever he wants, and he suffers no pain or anything.
He did kind of poo-poo this a little bit and say, yeah, I'm really not sure. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he still wants to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe... You guys should watch our WWF.
Yeah, we already program. Did this match, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Who went over? Didn't Sting go over?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was having a bad day that day. Anyways. So yeah, that's cool. Good for Sting. Still looks great though.
Yeah, he does. Also in the news. Cody Rhodes, he and the Young Bucks are self-financing their own show.
Yeah, we
next
talked
about
year. This last week.
Yeah, in a 10,000 seat arena. He recently spoke to ESPN about said show. Saying that they'll, quote, have a date and a place within 2 weeks. He continues, some of the stuff that we've already got on board, not talent-based, but as far as people who are involved with this and people who put some confidence in us, it's just crazy.
It's crazy.
Wrestling Observer added that the latest word is that the probable location will be either an arena in the Chicago area or in Southern California.
Well, we'll be there. If it's
please, Southern California. Please, great. Southern California. We'll do that.
It'd be fun to go to Chicago, though.
Imagine they do it like the Forum or something like that. That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
I know. That'd be a lot of
fun.
Or
Long Beach Arena.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Trying to think of any other 10,000-seat venues that's not obviously the Staples Center.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
That's like 18.
Yeah, they wouldn't do the Staples.
Forum would be cool.
This is really cool, though, man. I like that... The Wrestling Observer added that. The latest word is that, yeah, he texted one of the Jackson boys. So what are you guys thinking? Southern California? Okay, I won't say that, but you want me to throw in another? He was also talking about, do you have it in here? Meltzer was also talking about the possibility of them bringing in CM Punk
to
a show. He was like, it'd probably take CM Punk.
He said it would take CM Punk, Kenny Omega, and some New Japan talents involved in the show to pop 10,000. But then I think Daniel Bryan's name was brought up, he seemed like less convinced that would do the job.
Right, I know, right? I know. I think
Daniel Bryan's on par with CM Punk in terms of star power.
I'm pretty sure CM Punk, the Young Bucks, Cody and Kenny Omega, I'm pretty sure they would get to 10,000. You throw Daniel Bryan in there, you need to call it the Staples Center.
I know.
You need to start doing that, man, because marks will fly out from around the globe to see that into L.A. Are you kidding me? That'd
yes,
be great.
That would be fantastic. Speaking of Daniel Bryan.
Yes. The Wrestling Observer himself in his newsletter spoke extensively this week about the ongoing saga of Daniel Bryan's return to the ring, while Dave Meltzer adds that as of 12/4 earlier this week, nothing has changed regarding Bryan and WWE, and reports that he has been cleared are inaccurate.
Yes, nonetheless, Meltzer does state that the recent on-air
beef
between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon has led to speculation that a match between the two could happen.
Yeah.
He says, quote, it's not completely impossible that it ends up that way. Although right now, that wouldn't be a match under discussions there, since there has been no change in Bryan's status as far as being medically cleared. But he continues,
this is crazy.
I know. There is talk of him wrestling at SummerSlam and working a limited schedule if, my emphasis, if he does get cleared. Let's take a beat there. That's insane.
That's insane that they have contingency plans. What does that tell you about the possibility of him getting cleared? It's all down to Dr. Maroon?
Maroon, I believe, is his name. And we've heard it before, and Meltzer mentioned in the newsletter this week, too, that Vince has been very clear that the final word is not up to him. It's up to Dr. Maroon. But, you know, it seems for the last, barring the last, like, 4 months, it seemed like a near impossibility we'd ever see Daniel Bryan in the ring again. I doubt this is the case. Part of me wonders, with Daniel Bryan publicly politicking for return to the match of some or return to the ring in some capacity, if in WWE seeing that he's so passionate about returning the ring, would they? I'm not going to say they're going to, you know, look the other way as far as medical tests, but if it's like a 50-50 scenario, would they be more willing to clear him just to keep him around as opposed to let him go to somewhere else?
I would. Okay, so there's a couple moving pieces in what you just said there. I would have to believe that their protocol is super specific.
Yes.
And I would think that I would think that there isn't the possibility of a 50-50 split.
I wouldn't think so either.
That being said, I don't know how often he's checked. If Dr. Maroon, this is one possibility, because the science is ever evolving, does their protocol
adjust
to new realities and new techniques?
I don't know.
And if that's the case, I mean, it's possible, I guess, at that point, but we are not experts on this at all, but there seems to be like some indication that, well, it's possible he can get cleared.
It definitely seems to be momentum in the direction of him coming back to the ring, the WWE ring, ring.
And then the other part of that sort of, you know, the what you just said was, would trying to keep him in the WWE on a limited schedule be WWE's way of protecting him? I don't think they would think of that as their job. Like, look, he's a grown man. If he wants to go to New Japan and get kneed in the head by Kenny Omega 5 times in a match, then he can do that. That would probably look bad on them because he spent so much time. He is so connected to the WWE. But having him on a limited schedule, if he's cleared, I don't know if there's like levels to being cleared, if there's levels of clearance. I still think
I would assume if you're cleared for in-ring competition, you're cleared for in-ring competition.
You would think, right? Yeah. But then like, dude, he's going to be a referee. Did you see that promo for Total Divas or Total Bellas, whichever one is on? And Brie was coming off like the top and launching a missile dropkick into Daniel Bryan. And right when he's standing here, and right when she's here, they do a swipe on like Nia Jax or something. And I'm like, did he just take a bump?
Well, I heard about that there was a video online somewhere of him taking a bump and they took it down. That might have been it.
Like, that's in the promotional material. That's in a commercial. But like, this is a massive moment. Him taking a bump and they're using it in a tease for Total Divas? Insane.
You gotta think that WWE is aware of the fact that Daniel Bryan has probably taken dozens of bumps since retired, you know? Since he was forced to retire.
Yeah.
He's probably in there doing 1,000 of them a day.
He's hanging out at Johnny Mundo's backyard in the ring there,
He's just practicing bumps.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know, man. I mean, that cracked me. I was sitting there, I think I was on the toilet when I was looking at my Twitter feed, and I saw that, and I was like, what the heck is that? That they can't swipe then. That's a momentous occasion. His first televised
Total
bump.
Divas is canon. It has been determined.
It is kayfabe. It is canon.
So
that's crazy, though. I know. That's absolutely crazy. But there does seem to be. I mean, I have no idea what the fluctuations are in their like clearance protocols.
I don't know either. And I don't. You know, Brie most recently on Lillian Garcia's podcast talked about. And we talked about it late last week, earlier this week, about Daniel Bryan's last week on Dirt Sheet. exactly a week ago, Daniel Bryan's efforts to get cleared, and said he, you know, he's been to countless doctors and flown all across the country,
right?
And seems like everybody else has gave him the green light to return to the ring.
Yeah,
but I don't know, like, if has he had any follow up with WWE's doctor, with Dr. Maroon?
Well, if he would, dude, if he's saying as of 12/4 he hasn't been cleared, that makes it sound like he's been tested recently by Dr.
Well,
Maroon.
I don't
he's
know.
There. I mean, these days he's there every week.
Yeah.
I have no idea if there has to be some time period between testings. Like, we're not the
either.
People to talk about
I
that.
Know. I don't know.
But I don't know.
But then we saw, you know, with the RVD divorce case where he said that, you know, he can't wrestle with WWE anymore because he suffered a concussion, which caused
visual impairment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough.
So, I mean, obviously, there is some strict protocol in place. We know Daniel Bryan had some concussion-related seizures at one point.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's definitely a territory you don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
When you injure your brain so seriously, you're dealing with seizures, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Meltzer continues, quote, he's pretty strong in returning to the ring in October when his WWE contract expires, but also made it clear if he gets a negative test before he sets out to wrestle again, he will not wrestle.
That's smart. That's good. That's really good. I'm happy to hear that.
I mean, I would imagine that if he got the green light from all the doctors, but still knew that there's potential bad consequences that can happen if he just takes a bump wrong,
yeah,
that he would probably be willing to take that chance.
Well, we've talked about this a little bit in terms of, are we looking at a situation where continued wear and continued shots to the head would stack up over time? And we're just looking at like a really crappy old age.
Well, there's, you know, I don't know what the latest science is, but I remember reading an article about CTE in relation to football players, and one of the things that this article mentioned, I'm sorry, it's so long ago, I can't source it, that it's not, at least it's not concussions unto themselves is the worry, it's repeated.
Right.
So that's why you see a lot of interior linemen with CTE, because every play they're knocking helmets together.
Right.
And none of those individual hits will cause a concussion generally. Yeah. But just repeated, you know, minor head trauma is what's causing, it seems, just as much, if not more, than concussions, problems with CTE and degenerative brain issues further in life.
Yeah.
But it'd be, you know, we've heard about wrestlers who have said that upon their death, they're going to donate their brains. Like Kevin Nash said, he's going to donate his brain to research facilities when he passes to see, you know, what the status of his, I can't remember what part of the brain the CTE occurs in. What the status of his brain is. So, you know, in 20, 30 years, we may know a lot more about how taking bumps,
you know, that's
250
one thing,
days a year.
That's one thing Meltzer sort of talks a lot about these days in the newsletter whenever he talks about CTE and concussions, is there's no way to test nowadays what, like, if you have CTE, if a living
person
has CTE.
Actually, I heard there is a way they thought they might, I heard it on sports radio.
Well, his point with regards to Daniel Bryan, I've seen him tweet this, I think, to somebody, is Bryan is in a very odd space.
Oh, yeah,
where 10 years ago nobody would have cared, and 10 years from now they'll know, they'll be able to know. So we're on the precipice of having technology.
Well, I was gonna say, I thought I heard on, I always listen to sports radio coming over here, that there is some sort of test now that you can test for CTE. I mean, it's preliminary stages, my understanding. Test for CTE on living patients.
Right. Yeah. So I imagine that's probably in its infancy.
Yes.
And so 10 years from now, it'll probably be a standard thing.
Yes.
You know, it'll be like, and then, you know, it'll be a freaking app. Let's see here. Larson, you're messed up.
Yeah.
Let's talk really quick about the other stories we had on our daily show in case listeners out there. Rob Van Dam apparently is done with the WWE. You mentioned this earlier. Apparently he's going through a divorce, and in the divorce paperwork, he explained that he shouldn't be paying as much alimony these days because he's ineligible to work for the WWE.
And thus his income is, he's not, you know, he can't make as much money essentially.
Right, exactly. And his merchandising
deal expired, yeah.
And then finally, we're shooting this, or this is on Friday, but we're shooting this on Thursday. So Thursday morning, we talked about Ronda Rousey. According to USA Today, seemingly has a couple of sources close to her that said she is in the final stages of pulling off a deal.
Finalizing her WWE deal, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
So if that comes to fruition, I would not be surprised to see her show up on WWE TV probably after the Rumble.
Yeah, after the Rumble, probably. Maybe she'll be in attendance at the Rumble.
Or, yeah, front if row. They do the Women's Rumble, maybe she'll be in it.
Oh, there you go.
Surprise oh, she's not going to be. No way. She's
you don't
not
think
be...
they'd have, surprise, have her win it?
No.
That'd be crazy
not
if they did
chance,
that.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Imagine if she won it and then challenged Charlotte at WrestleMania.
I could see her being in. That'd be look, I think it'd be great. I could see her being in front row and then staring down whoever did win it. Maybe something like that. I don't know. Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun, I think. The Rumble and Mania are going to be fun. The road to WrestleMania is going to be kind of interesting this year.
Yes, it shall be.
It shall be. Anyways, is that
it?
Is that it?
That's what we got.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Let us know what you guys think about all the week's news in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
Oh, that's right. I have to get up because I can't turn the thing off.
Oh, no. Here we go, Larson. Talk some more.
Hi, everybody. So that was the news for the week. We'll be back next week with more news
gotta get my screen for you. Fixed.
Yeah, I get that stuff fixed.
Goodbye.
Bye.